Welcome to Dysfunctional Podcast. I am Jesus Figueroa at dysfunctionaldysfunctional.com. And today I have an interview I did with Claudia Sandoval, MasterChef 6 winner. We got a chance to discuss what it's been like for her after MasterChef and how her life has changed, as well as her cookbook, Claudia's Cocina, A Taste of Mexico. Claudia's Cocina, A Taste of Mexico, celebrates the food of MasterChef Season 6 winner Claudia Sandoval. Sandoval brought with her a cooking background strongly influenced by her family's Mexican roots, as well as the seafood restaurant her grandparents owned when she was a child. Throughout the show, she demonstrated a bright, versatile range of flavors and always made family the center of her dishes. The book offers 65 mouth-watering recipes straight from Sandoval's kitchen to yours. It showcases a mix of Sandoval's favorite dishes as well as some of the on-the-spot creations that propelled her to victory. The book also shares her favorites from her family's town of Mazatlan, as well as creams, sauces, and salsas, plus step-by-step directions for complex dishes that will help readers master some of the staples of Mexican cuisine.
Hola, Jesus.
Hi, Claudia. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. First of all, I guess, congratulations. I mean, it's been a while, but, you know, you're the first Hispanic who won MasterChef.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing great. I guess I wanted to talk to you back when you won, but because I wanted to get your reaction on how it felt. I guess what was your reaction when you finally won?
Well, you mean when I could finally tell anyone, because I met you before I could tell anyone?
Yes.
I think it's a number of emotions, if I'm being really honest. I think that I was relieved is one of the words. I was relieved that I could finally just be open and speak about everything, and that I could just, you know, that I didn't have to hide it all, you know, because I had to hide it for many, many months. I mean, the finale didn't air until September 16th. I had been back since March, so it had already been well over six months. And so it was a relief. It was a relief. I'm like cowling that day, and I want to cry already. It was a relief. I felt like everything that I've ever fought for was finally worth something. I felt proud of being the first Latina and to have my family surrounding me and my friends surrounding me, you know, in beautiful San Diego. It was incredible. I was surrounded by, you know, 200 of my closest friends and fans. And so it was an incredible moment. I don't think that many moments in my life moving forward will ever match that day. So it was very, very moving. It was a very emotional day.
How soon after you actually won did you start writing the cookbook?
I actually started writing the cookbook about 2 months after I won. That's just a matter of like logistical things. And, you know, on the show, they have to, you know, do contracts and all of that at the end. I didn't get to start writing it until about the end of May, roughly. The show ended in March, and so I started writing about end of May, and I wrote it for about maybe 12 weeks. So it was a very, very condensed amount of time. So it was about 12 weeks of writing intensely. So
wow.
That's about how long it took. Yeah.
That sounds so like such a little time for writing a cookbook. I mean, I'm sure there's so many recipes up in your head that it took you forever to choose which ones would be right to get in a cookbook. How did you choose what you wanted to include?
That's a very interesting question. And I want to kind of just address what you previously just mentioned, which is a huge deal about this book for me. This book took every bit of ounce of dedication, frustration, blood, sweat, tears. I mean, literally in some cases, because you know, I was so intent on making sure that the recipes were perfect because, as you know, most Latino food, you know, is not a recipe. It's kind of just like a little pinch of that and a little another little pinch of this and like a, you know, and so it's hard to then translate that into a recipe because you don't know how much a pinch is, right? And so that was one of my biggest problems whenever I decided to start writing this book. And so instead of it just being something that I could write because I memorized a recipe that my mom gave me at some point, it was more of like, okay, I'm going to have to grab a pinch of salt and measure a pinch of salt so that I know how much that pinch of salt is. Because it was literally that crazy. And so I was pretty much recipe testing every single one of my recipes. And then on top of that, I had a recipe tester, and then we would have conversations about it. So when I say that, you know, it was 12 weeks, it was like an intense 12 weeks, which of course, you know, being a mom and then trying to keep some form of job on top of writing a book in 12 weeks is a huge, big deal. But one of my biggest problems was I wanted to do it right. And I wanted to make sure that every single recipe that's included was there for a reason. And you know, to answer your question, how I chose them, I think that one of the biggest things that I wanted to do through this book is to share food memories. And I knew that there was no way I was going to be able to do that unless I dug really deep into my food memories to invoke some of that through other people. One of my favorite books in life is Como Agua para Chocolate, right? Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she, Lourdes Kills does an incredible job of just describing food and flavors and textures and how they make you feel and how they're much more than just food on a plate, but rather a labor of love and a dish that really truly can transcend space, time, and many other things. And I wanted to kind of share my experience where I've had those same type of experiences. I mean, I specifically talk about, por ejemplo, the first time that I ever had a taste in an avocado and having my grandmother yell at me, cómetelo, right, in the background. Mm-hmm. But then putting it in my mouth and then experiencing that just like gorgeous texture that is aguacate and having it for the first time in a tortilla with just salt and really tasting the ingredient for what it was, not just as guacamole on a taco, right, mm-hmm. but as the actual ingredient and the true ingredient as it was. And to be able to share experiences like that, I think, is an opportunity for a chef to say, this is why this is important. This isn't just a book of recipes where I'm just throwing stuff in a book just so that you can feel like you can cook like a master chef, just so that you, I wanted it to be more than that. I wanted it to be a book where people are thinking to themselves, man, that reminds me of the first time I had my abuela fideo or the first time I had my mom's fried chicken. I don't care what it is. I don't care what that food memory is. I want people to feel like, that's right. This is why we're so connected to food. This is why we love food so much. This is why we watch these cooking shows, because there is such a connection as human beings to food and to our nutrition that I wanted to showcase those food memories and why they were so important. I didn't want it to just be like, oh, this is why you need to make this, you know? No, I wanted it to be very, 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 very personal.
That sounds awesome to me, and I can't wait to pick up the cookbook. I follow you on social media, and I'm really enjoying your Snapchat. It's amazing.
Yeah, my Snapchat is like true life Claudia all day, every day. It's unscripted.
Yeah, and you constantly go out to eat amazing looking food, and it's like you said, it's like a slice of life for you, you know, and it's unscripted. It's amazing. I mean, I see constantly the little stories that happen when you go out to eat because you have your family with you. A lot of people decide not to do that personal thing on social media because it is the internet, but why do you decide to include family and be more personal?
That's a good question. That's a really good question, actually, because I've had a lot of people ask me about my daughter being public, and, you know, people are so secretive about their lives, especially when they're in the public eye and they gotten some type of fame or notoriety, they kind of are private. I think I'm going to answer that in two parts. I think that I am very private, whether that's hard to believe or not. I am actually very private. I do like to share a lot because I think that we're just in a time in the universe right now where people like to share and people like to be connected to people that they like and they follow. And I think that one of the biggest things that I've heard back as feedback from my fans is just that they appreciate how real I am. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, with this novel kind of reality show kind of idea of everything that is right now, right? I mean, every show I feel like is a some type of quote reality. And yet people know that 9 times out of 10, some of that is scripted. And I think that whenever you can see something that is truly real, that is truly tangible, that they're seeing me at restaurants that they eat at, or that they're seeing me and the way I interact with my daughter and the things that suck. I'll post things about, like, you know, being so tired that I have to put under eye patches and and masks on my face, you know. But I mean, I think that there's a certain way of connecting with people through just being candid and honest. And I think that that's definitely who I was on MasterChef. And I think that that's the reason why a lot of my fans follow me. And they specifically reached out and said, you know, this is something that we appreciate you because you're so real, because you're so humble, because you're so just yourself. You're unforgivingly yourself. And I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that. There are definitely parts of me that I keep more private. My personal life is definitely very private. Nobody knows if I'm dating or not dating. Mm-hmm. That's a biggie for me. My daughter, I keep her for the most part private, unless, you know, I haven't seen her or we're out to dinner. If we're already in the public eye, it's something that's easy to kind of share. So, I'm very selective with what I share. But I definitely want people to have a glimpse into kind of the behind the scenes of what it's like to be a MasterChef.
That sounds great. So going off of that, how has your life changed since winning?
Gosh, it's changed in every possible way. It's everything from being able to pick up my daughter from school to, to being able to go on a, I mean, are you kidding? Like one of my dreams in life has always been to be able to visit a white sand beach. I mean, I just published my updated bucket list to my blog recently, and one of those things is, you know, to visit a white sand beach, and I get to do that on the cruise. I get to go to the Caribbean, and I can't even believe that, you know, that my life is that amazing, that my life is so incredible that I get to go on all these incredible trips. I mean, I've cooked at Michelin star restaurants in different cities in the United States. And I could keep going. The book tour, meeting people that tell me every day that I inspire them, to being able to host my first pop-up event next week. I mean, this is like a dream come true. And I'm not sure that my feet have quite touched the ground yet.
For people wanting to go on MasterChef, what advice would you have?
Yes, I would say that my biggest piece of advice is probably to stay true to themselves. I think that sometimes whenever people think that they're going to go on TV or that they're going to go on a cooking competition that's televised, they think that a lot of it's fake. Because as I mentioned before, a lot of reality TV is now known to be scripted. MasterChef is not scripted. It's scripted in the sense that they know what the challenges are going to be, but you don't. And so I think that in the midst of it all, when you're under pressure and you're under the gun, your true personality will actually show. And so you have to be yourself in all ways, whether that's you being frustrated or whether that's you being humble and awesome. And I think you can't fake who you are. Outside of that, I'd say just stick to who you are and know who you are, because at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to differentiate you from anyone else is to have your own culinary voice. And sometimes you don't find it until you're in the MasterChef kitchen, like me. But, you know, I think it's important to make sure to stay true to self.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time. I hope when you're up here in LA, I get a chance to go see you at one of your events.
Yes, I'm working on getting a couple of books I need to up there. So we'll make sure to let you know for sure.
Claudia Sandoval's cookbook, Claudia's Cocina, A Taste of Mexico, from the winner of MasterChef Season 6 on Fox, is available for purchase now. Follow Claudia Sandoval on social media at Claude_Oval on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. That's CLAUD_OVAL. Check out more of my stuff here on audioboom.com/channel/dysfunctional. Check out my blog, dysfunctional.com, and check me out on social media at dysfunctional on Twitter and Instagram, and dysfunctional LA on Facebook.